So I was on my motorcycle, is going through this intersection, and this car just turns left in front of me. They said they didn't see me, obviously. Broke my arm, busted my shoulder. A buddy told me to call the advocates. But, you know, I've always been skeptical of lawyers, right? I called them. They were on my side for sure. They took care of everything.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. I totally get that bikers are independent, but when someone else causes a crash, you need a team as tough as you.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
The world is a vampire.
The Raven Effect with pro wrestling superstar Raven. A cornucopia of stupidity masquerading as a podcast. Critics have hailed it as everything from,
huh? Who's this Raven jerk?
And, if you want clever discourse, nonsensical banter, and incessant rambling, well, this is the show for you. Ladies, gentlemen, idiots, floozies, and reprobates, this is Raven.
Hello and welcome to all my minions and reprobates on special occasions, to all my weirdos and freaks, wackos and creeps. All my clowns and gowns, uptown and down. All my, you get it. We have a wide diversity of peeps, homies, and essays listening to the podcast. We got little people, big people, women, ladies, trannies, and grannies, both in glass boxes and foyers and without, sometimes having sex on the table with my co-hosts, sometimes not. Depending what's on the table or the kind of table. No ping pong tables or foosball tables, though. The jizz gums up the twisty arms in a foosball table. And my co-host is northwards of the operating weight of a ping pong table. Actually, I didn't even know they operated on ping pong tables. But my co-host, he does apparently rent out his ping pong table for major surgical operations or major surgical strikes because he's thrifty. I mean, cheap. Call back.
Kind of.
Not really. I guess you never work and it's called cheap, but now it's a callback.
Yeah, I've never been called cheap.
But it's a callback now. Right. My co-host throws around nickels like they were manhole covers and rents out the space in his manhole, his butt, to cover bands.
I don't even get that, but it's funny.
No callback, but it should be. No, because look, he rents out the space in his manhole, his butt, to cover bands. So cover bands practice in your butthole.
No, I understood all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't understand why would cover bands be like my chosen leasers?
Because you throw around nickels like they were manhole covers.
But why? That could be gardeners. That could be like AA meetings. Anything could happen in my butt.
Yeah, but I had to use cover. So cover bands.
Cover. Sorry.
Yeah, I had to keep with the word flow. My co-host once was quite the wild man, and he once stage dived at the Trocadero. That's how they got the sinkhole on Hollywood Boulevard. I just wrote that 5 minutes ago.
That's pretty good.
I just wrote this whole thing I wrote just
five minutes ago. This was one of your better ones, to be honest.
My co-host almost joined Scientology, but he thought it sounded too much like Zionology. So he's I just wrote this too. That's what I was finishing writing when you were ready to go. So he started his own organization, Anti-Scientology. Some of the more famous members included Jimmy Mengele, great nephew of Joseph. Buffy Eichmann, granddaughter of, you get it. In the bathroom, they had hers and Himmler. They had towels for both hers and Himmler's.
Oh, that was a future snap. Shit.
They have the grandson of a famous baseball player who went by the nickname the Sultan of SWAT Sticker. You might have heard of him by his full name, George Herman Gehring Babe Ruth.
Oh, these are terrible.
That's when That's where the saying "raise the Ruth" comes from. You didn't know that, did you? I didn't. It was an occult worship ceremony where they tried to raise Ruth from the dead, but it backfired and enabled Ruth Bader Ginsburg to live forever. Obviously, they weren't happy she's a Jew and a woman. Oi, oi is vey. My co-host. My co-host was really upset because he thought they were going to raise a shitload of Baby Ruth candy bars. And that's where I finished. I didn't finish the intro. That's it. So I guess probably now is where it would, there'd be some more comedy. And then there'd be a Wizard of Whoopi and Busby Eichmann. Yay!
Welcome to me! And now rub them fingers together real tight.
I already am.
As these poop-themed hex snaps are going to make you feel all right.
Poop-themed basketball?
The poop.
Oh, poop-themed.
Yeah, I just – and by the way, I only realized that as I was saying it because I looked at them all. I'm like, oh, they're all about poop. Oh, I'm not very proud of that. Okay, here we go. I wrote down all my private thoughts, then ate the pages. Now I have diarrhea. Yeah. Do you get that?
Diarrhea?
Diarrhea. Diarrhea.
Well, you should
diarrhea.
Cool. Maybe I kind of didn't. That's what I thought. But if you would have said I was writing all the pages to my journal and then I ate them.
Oh, you think I could say journal and diary and it wouldn't be doubled up?
No, because it's not diary twice.
Okay. This one's better.
And that's like, I think Anne Frank did the same thing, didn't she?
She had diarrhea?
Yeah, she had Anne Frank. She had the
diarrhea. I think I have to figure out how to say diarrhea. Is it, do I say now I have diarrhea or diarrhea?
No, the diarrhea Anne Frank.
More Nazi mentions than any other wrestling adjacent podcast. I think
and by a new Jew, tech. By a Jew too,
a devout one.
That's an equal opportunity offender. I am.
I wrote a rap song called "Constipation" and sent it to my record label, but I'm still waiting for it to be released.
Tremendous.
I think my third one's the best one, too.
Constipation is making me wait. Isn't that how the song goes?
It's a rap song, so I'd come in after that and be like, yo, yo, you're all bottled up, yo. Never mind. That'll never happen again.
Okay. Why not? I loved it.
It's horrifying. Before I die, I want to go to the bathroom on every continent. It's quite the to-do list.
Tremendous.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. When I saw, honestly, I was just sitting here listening, and then I started to look them over quickly while you were saying like your shit end of your promo. and I was like, oh my God, these are all about butts. So you know, what can you do? Sometimes that's where the muse is.
Yes, the toilet paper muse.
Ooh, toilet paper muse is kind of a great name for like a real, like I don't know, a punk folk band.
Oh, toilet paper muse.
Yeah.
And then they can bring you the toilet paper news, and you could read it on toilet paper newser. I don't know. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah. So last week's show was universally praised as awesome. I told you it was hilarious.
We were so ill prepared last week. It was one of the least prepared shows we'd ever done.
Which goes to prove we shouldn't be preparing at all.
I feel like that's, you know what? I understand how you came to that logical conclusion, but I feel like that's a super dangerous precedent to set.
Yeah, but yeah, can't get any more slapdash than it is. That's what the people like. The people like the slapdashiness.
They like the conversational sort of flow.
They like the conversational slapdashiness. So this is our 97th episode. So We have to, with Jericho, we're going to get Jericho for the 100th episode or 99th, whatever. So we're planning on him for the 100th episode. I forgot to tell you that. So I talked to him the other day. He said he would be able to do it, but we have to give him a date to do it. So we'll have to figure out on his schedule because he's a busy man.
Yeah. I'd be curious. I mean, he's certainly in the news a bunch right now.
Really? What's he doing?
What's he doing? He's sort of the biggest name to sign to this All Elite Wrestling promotion.
Oh, that. I thought you meant he was in the news for something else.
Oh, I think he also kidnapped some kids.
Oh, well, that old thing. So what do you make of this? So your Regnort lead, the president of the Regnort, Shane Herron, sent me this article about the, how they crucified Ronald. They put Ronald McDonald up on a crucifix.
I guess I should be a little frightened, right? Like if I was a logical person, that sort of my quasi stalker has sent you an article of a clown being crucified, I probably, my gut reaction would be nerves. But Shane, he's got a good heart. He's just kind of a spaz.
It's a true story. It's a true article. It's apparently, I'm gonna, I know we're not in the Newser section, but this isn't from Newser, so I'm going to have to read it now. It says, sculpture of crucified Ronald McDonald sparks uproar in Israel. I know you don't like the Israel part.
Oh, that's like, I'm actually quite surprised of all places for this to appear. Did the article state what the message was? Was it like a Banksy thing?
I was waiting to read the article until we got on the air.
Oh, good. You're really sticking to this no prep thing we talked about.
So it says the article, it seems like it's a Newser article, even though it isn't. It says Christians aren't loving it.
That's great.
It says a sculpture of a crucified Ronald McDonald sparked violent protests. And I'm going to put the picture on Twitter, too. Sparked violent protests at a museum in Israel where hundreds of Christians are calling for its removal, according to reports Monday. Rioters hurled a firebomb and threw rocks at police while demanding the artwork dubbed McJesus be yanked from the Hoffa Museum of Art last week, local police sources said. At least three cops were injured. Some protesters tried to break into the building to remove the artwork, according to the Times of Israel. This is very offensive, and I cannot consider this art, said protester somebody or another who's an artist and a Christian. We will continue through peaceful rallies, candle vigils. We won't be quiet until there's a solution. There's also in the exhibit, there's Barbie doll versions of a bloody Jesus and the Virgin Mary. And we understand that freedom of expression is interpreted in different ways. But if this work was directed against non-Christian, the world would be turned upside down. Museum leaders fired back by refusing to remove it. That's how they fired back.
That's not really a fire back maneuver just to do nothing.
No. But it said the museum instead hung a curtain over the entrance to the exhibit and posted a sign saying it was not meant to offend people.
I just realized does Ronald McDonald have any female friends, or with all those Hamburglar, Mayor McCheese, Grimace, they're all male, yeah?
Yeah.
Like the apostles.
Yeah, well, maybe Ronald McDonald's a homosexual. What's wrong with that? You have a problem with that?
Well, I don't think that – I wasn't even assuming. I just thought he just had a lot of bros. You know. But it's interesting they didn't create a female character in the McDonaldland. Is it the McDonaldland gang? Is that what they're called?
They stole it from HR Puffin Stuff, sir, and that's still a touchy subject with me.
I know. Very sensitive.
Well, there's some more weird news in the world. Apparently that World Series pitcher, John Wetteland, or however you pronounce his name, he is turned into a child abuser, and it will be investigated on the Pete O files. Did you hear about that?
I did. I heard a little bit about the front end of that story, but not about this investigation on this fictitious show that you bring up every week to humiliate me.
I resent the implication that I'm trying to humiliate you.
But yeah, I don't understand. Is Pedo a pedophile?
Or we don't know. The story has not played out yet. We don't know if it's actually – we do know that there are kids trapped in a bunker underneath his garage. But we don't know if it's actually – if it's a setup, if it's a frame job or not.
Is it a Dexter situation where he's like a serial killer killing serial killers?
No, he's an investigator. He's a private eye. He's a private
right,
dick.
But is he a pedophile who's taking down pedophiles?
Well, we don't know yet. We haven't found out. He's a private dick. And is he showing his dick publicly? We don't know yet. There's other big news. Verna Bloom passed away.
Is that a Judy Bloom's mom?
No, it's not. Would you like to try again, sir? She's a famous actress. Very famous.
Verna Bloom, you said.
Yes, very famous. Hugely famous actress.
I would argue all these points because I'm – I think of fame like a Tom Cruise or a
she's at that level.
I don't know, what was she in?
She played Dean Wormer's wife in Animal House.
Oh, she was great. She was great in that movie.
I told you. She's world famous.
I wonder, though, if she was famous enough to, like, do conventions like Virgil. Like, is she Virgil famous? Like, can she sign autographs because she was in that movie?
Oh, people that are celebrity worshippers, they would definitely go for Dean Wormer's wife. She was hot too.
Oh, she was very sexy in that movie. Although that movie doesn't hold up. Like, some scenes are still hilarious, but a lot of it feels gross. That movie, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen it in years. You mean since the Me Too movement?
Yeah, like just a lot of like the, you know, like. Like, you know, he bangs like a 13-year-old at the frat house.
She was
stuff
16.
Like that. No. I think she was younger than that. She says some absurd age and like when he finally finds out.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Pinto.
Pinto, yeah. And then didn't he turn into a creep for real?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I better not. Let me take that back. That might not be true.
Look it up. I'll vamp for you.
Okay. I'm looking it up.
So Busby's going around calling people creeps and pedos.
I'm just trying to spread some of the accusations.
Why is your dog ringing her bell?
I just fed her, as you know, in the Patreon part of the and now she's still hungry, but she's really not. She just needs to sort of think she's hungry, and
she
then she'll get over it.
She needs to think she's sort of hungry. Why does she need to?
I don't 40. Oh, here's an article about how Animal House doesn't really hold up. But I can't find anything right now about him being a creep. But I'm pretty sure it's true.
Okay, we'll go with that.
So irresponsible. That's such an irresponsible thing to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to go with you saying it. I'm not verifying it. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
we're going with you.
Look
saying
it up, folks. Do your own research.
Yeah, we don't.
I'd say that about politics, everything. Don't. By anything we say, please fact check.
All right. So also, there's another piece of business. Scott Franklin, one of our fans, bought 3 shirts at one pop off the of the Raven shirts. And one of them included a Shut Up, I Haven't Introduced You Yet shirt.
So how many of those have sold over the last year and change?
Not thousands, not hundreds, not tens, but almost tens.
Have we made double digits?
No, we're probably around 7-ish. Yeah.
I thought that was gonna blow up, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been wrong before. Okay, I got a couple of, I still have my note that we need to review a movie we haven't seen one. We haven't reviewed one since Kid Millions other than Mission Impossible last week. But we'll worry about that later. I want to talk about the Mandela effect, but first I want to read a joke.
That was one of the great sentences of all time. We're gonna review a movie. We'll talk about it later. Then I want to talk about the Mandela effect. But first, I want to read a joke.
This is a joke I saw on Reddit. All right. An Afghan, an Albanian, an Algerian, an American, an Andorran, an Angolan, an Antiguan, an Argentinian, an Armenian, an Australian, an Austrian, and our Azerbaijan, whatever, a Bahamian, a Bahraini, a Bangladeshi, a Barbadian, a Barbudan, a Botswanan, a Belarusian, a Belgian, a Belizean, a Beninese, a Bhutanese, a Bolivian, a Bosnian, a Brazilian, a Brit, a Brunei, a Bulgarian, a Burkinab, a Burmese, a Burundian, a Cambodian, a Cameroonian, a Canadian, a Cape Verdean, a Central African, a Chadian, that's a Chadian, maybe, a Chilean, a Chinese, a Colombian, a Comoran, a Congolese, a Costa Rican, a Croatian, a Cuban, a Cypriot, a Czech, a Dane, a Djibouti, a Dominican, a Dutchman, an East Timorese, an Ecuadorian, an Egyptian, an Emirian, an Equatorial Guinean, an Eritrean, an Estonian, an Ethiopian, a Fijian, a Filipino, a Finn, a Frenchman, a Gabonese, a Gambian, a Georgian, a German, a Ghanaian, a Greek, a Grenadian, that's somebody who throws a grenade, a Guatemalan, a Guinea-Bissau, I can't pronounce that, a Guinean, a Guyanese, a Haitian, I've been to Guyana, a Herzegovinian, a Honduran, a Hungarian, an Ikiribati, an Icelander, an Indian, wonder which kind, an Indonesian, an Iranian, an Iraqi, both together, an Irishman, an Israeli, an Italian, an Ivorian. What's an Ivorian? I guess they live in ivory. A Jamaican, a Japanese, a Jordanian, a Kazakhstani, a Kenyan, a Kittian, and Nevisian, a Kuwaiti, a Kyrgyz, spelled K-Y-R-G-Y-Z. I can't pronounce. There's no vowels in it. Well, let's count Y. A Laotian, a Laotian, I don't know. A Latvian, that's where Dr. Doom lives. Latvia. He lives in Latveria. That's real.
It's a little different.
A Lebanese, a Liberian, a Liberian, a Libyan, a Liechtensteiner, a Lithuanian, a Luxemburger. That's like a hamburger with stuff and something on it. A Malaysian, a Maldavi, a Maltese, a Marshallese, a Mauritanian, a Mauritian, a Mexican, a Micronesian, a Moldovan, a Monacan, a Mongolian, a Moroccan, a Mosothoto, I don't know, a Botswana, that's like Botswana with an M, a Mozambican, a Namibian, a Norian, a Nepalese, a New Zealander, a Nicaraguan, a Nigerian, a Nigerian, a North Korean, a Northern Irishman, a Norwegian, an Omani, a Pakistani, a Palawan, and a Palestinian, a Panamanian, a Papua New Guinea. Ooh, those are like headhunters. A Peruvian, a Pole, a Portuguese, a Qatari. That's not somebody who plays the Qatari. That's somebody from Qatar. I guess it's pronounced Qatar, a Qatari. A Romanian, a Russian, a Rwandan, almost there. A St. Lucian, a Salvadoran, a Samoan, a San Marinese, a Sao Tomean, a Saudi, a Scottish, a Senegalese, a Serbian, a Seychellois, a Sierra Leonean, a Singaporean, a Slovakian, a Slovenian, a South African, a Sri Lankan, a Sudanese, a Suriname, a Swazi, a Swede, a Swiss, a Syrian, a Tajik, a Tanzanian, a Togolese, a Tongan, a Trinidadian, or Tobagian, a Tunisian, a Turk, a Tuvaluan, a Ugandan, a Ukrainian, a Uruguayan, an Uzbekistani, a Venezuelan, a Vietnamese, a Welshman, a Yemenite, a Zambian, and a Zimbabwean all go to a nightclub. The doorman stops him and says, "Sorry, I can't let you in without a tie."
That's the whole joke?
Yeah, without a tie. T-H-A-I. Brutal. Without a tie. T-H-I.
Oh, T-H-A-I. Nice. Oh, actually, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Without a T-H-A-I, without a tie.
I think you butchered like maybe 30% of those words.
I'd be proud to butcher 30% only. So there were some Reddit comments. I just made my wife sit through it. It was hilarious. How is she holding up? She's not speaking to me. Because of the joke or just in general. Ouch. She dead. I got a bunch of ridiculous more comments. Let's see what else we have here. This is why Karen left and took the kids. He didn't get it because I spent so long trying to pronounce everything correctly that he forgot it was meant to be a joke. My dad uses my little brother. Oh, there was some business about kids getting beat up for telling a joke. And then something about the guy goes, "My dad used my little brother to beat us both for the effort of one." My dad beats me with his dick. He just fucking slaps it on my cheek. This is where you draw the line. The guy goes, "This is where you draw the line." And the other guy goes, "Better draw concentric circles and improves your aim much better than just lines." This guy goes, "I got beat with a fly swatter. We were too poor for anybody to have a belt." Another guy says, "Mm-hmm." This guy says, "I told this out loud to my wife. She's trying to ignore me out of existence. That's why Karen left with the kids again." This is somebody else's Karen. "My dad hits me all the time and you don't hear me complaining about it because he's wearing a tie."
What? So wait, is there just a subreddit for jokes? Where do
No, these are just all comments based on that joke.
But I guess I don't understand Reddit, so I'm asking you, like, how did you find a joke on Reddit, or did someone send it?
I don't
it
know.
To you?
Somebody sent. Oh, Zach Black sent it.
Oh, okay. So and he seems like a guy who has enough time to be on Reddit for hours at a time, so he could find it.
So then he goes. Somebody says something about up dog, and he goes, or up root. And he goes, "I think he meant up dog." And the guy goes, "What's up dog?" He goes, "Nothing much, bro. What about you?" The written word is so special. And then somebody wrote, "Man, why'd you make me read the whole thing to see if Ty was missing?" Somebody put, "That's showbiz, baby." And then somebody put, imagine telling that joke in real life, and I decided I would. Let's see. I think there's one more line here. Oh, and then apparently somebody wrote a tag to the joke. The Scotsman goes back to his car to grab a tie, but all he could find were some jumper cables. He puts them around his neck and goes back. He says, "Can I get in now?" The bouncer says, "All right, but don't start anything."
Not bad. I thought that was flailing, but then it kind of came around.
Oh, that was tremendous. What a waste of 10 minutes.
I wonder if there's a good joke with "it came around." Like, did you hear about the guy with the circular penis?
It came around? The Good Humor Man, he used to come around until PEDO and the pedophiles investigated him.
This show. Is he a pedophile?
No, he's an investigator for the truth. But he may be hiding some truth. We don't know. The season isn't over yet. I'm trying to put these back in order because I'm going to mail these to somebody. Somebody will get these signed. That's going to be one of our big, you know, every once in a while we give away big giveaways here.
Yeah, like really expensive thought through giveaways.
Yeah, well, this is like 10 pieces of paper that you could use for scratch paper where you could tell the joke again. You think I think maybe I should do it again because I don't think I really hit all the notes. I didn't pronounce all the names incorrectly enough.
Yeah, I was going to say you actually hit a few.
Yeah, I didn't mean to. I want to talk about the Mandela effect. You know what that is?
I'm not sure I do.
All right, well, let's first read our advertisement, though, first.
Sure.
You don't have the new copy, though. I didn't send you the new copy. We have new copy now.
Is this for
Purple?
Purple, yeah. You sent me an email on this, but I'm just gonna listen along.
Well, you don't have to. You can play too.
Okay.
So, do you have a hard time falling asleep at night or staying asleep? Do you wake up hot and sweaty, or are you stiff and sore in the morning? If you're not sleeping on a Purple mattress, your mattress could be the problem, and here's why. Memory foam sleeps hot and doesn't give you the support you need. Traditional spring mattresses don't relieve pressure. Adjustable air mattresses. Oh, who would live on a – that would suck if I had to sleep on an adjustable air mattress.
I had a buddy who lived with his grandma and he was like 30 years old. He was sleeping on an air mattress every night and like I literally saw the curvature of his spine change over a year.
Was she living in a foyer in a glass box?
She lived like a normal old lady. She slept in a bed. She ate in the kitchen. It was all normal.
Well, anyway, adjustable air mattresses make you choose between hard bed problems and soft bed problems, leaving you with a sore back or stiff joints. Latex foam breaks down quickly. Break it down. Only the Purple mattress's hyper-elastic polymer and grid technology cradles your body while giving you the support and comfort your body needs. So if you're struggling to get a good night's sleep, you got to try a Purple mattress. How's Purple mattress different from other mattresses? Well, the Purple mattress is made of a brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. It is not memory foam.
Yes.
Thank you for adding to that.
Well, that wasn't a question or like you didn't ask me about my experience. You just made a statement.
Good point. The Purple material feels very unique. It's both soft and firm at the same time, so it keeps everything supported while still feeling really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. You gotta sleep cool. You don't want to be like sleeping like a loser.
Yeah. No one wants to sleep like a nerd.
You want to sleep like Fonzie. Fonzie was cool. Callback.
Did we ever see Fonzie's bed in Happy Days?
Maybe. Anyway, look, 100-night free risk-free trial. How can you beat that? If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund. It's backed by a 10-year warranty. That's unbelievable. Free shipping and returns, 0% APR financing. That's even better. Free in-home setup and old mattress removal. I mean, there's no reason not to test this out. You'd be silly not to. You're going to love Purple. And right now, our listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering on site-wide. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text RAVEN, R-A-V-E-N, to 474747. The only way to get this free pillow is to text RAVEN to 474747. That's R-A-V-E-N to 474747. Message and data rates may apply. And you may apply for the mattress because it has 0% APR financing.
So yeah, we like these purple folks. Definitely get one of these mattresses.
Yes, we like them. They're good advertisers, and they make good products. So, you know, you'd be silly not to try it, especially if your bed's falling apart. So now let's get to the important the discussion of today.
The Mandela effect.
Are you aware of the Mandela effect?
You know, I was tempted to look it up, but I felt like I'd be a better audience if I just listened.
Are you sure about that?
Well, I didn't here's what I thought would happen. I thought if I looked it up, I would then probably lie about looking it up and then be like, oh, I remember what it is.
Well, why don't you look it up real quick and read to folks at home what it's about?
Okay, so I just looked it up.
You did look it up.
Okay, I had looked it up. I was going to pretend I remembered. Bastard. It's essentially a false memory. The Mandela effect is evidence that you may have experienced events from a different reality. So I don't quite understand what they mean by different reality.
Okay, like people seem to remember that – people seem to think that in this – they think that Mandela died in prison, but he didn't. But people have this memory of him, and so they think that the memories have been changed, that he really did die in prison, but this is a false reality we're living in. Or like it was the Berenstain Bears, but they seem to remember it being the Berenstain Bears.
Oh, is this also the one that a movie that they think Sinbad, the stand-up comic, was in?
Yeah.
But it was actually Shaq. Like it was either Kazam or Shazam, and people swear they saw a version with Sinbad, but it does not exist.
But now they can watch him on the show Little Rel, which is terrible.
Oh, I like Little Rel. The show's not good?
No, it's brutally unfunny. It's like a really good episode of our show.
Oh my God, poor guy.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, he's struggling.
This is Little Rel from Get Out, right?
Like I didn't see Get Out, but yeah. You should be a comedy consultant for Little Rel.
That's the dream, man.
He wasn't very good on the roast either.
You said that on a previous podcast. You said he didn't really hold his own.
No, he didn't. He was flailing around like he tried to ad lib and just did not do a good job.
Well, I think though he's one of those comedians that part of like why you like him is he seems very ill-equipped to be a comedian. Like it's like part of his charm is he's so low status. So then you go to a roast where you need to be high status and really kind of, you know, like
The low status people are so they're going to make it big because they got plans for him. And so they had big plans for him. And it's not paying off, I don't think. He's the guy that they put the push behind, and I don't think they should have. No offense to him.
It's sort of his Lex Express.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not really expressing himself like Lex did.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like sometimes also a guy's like whatever makes him a good stand up, because he's great in Get Out.
He was really good in Uncle Drew.
Shout out to my buddy Charles Stone, the director, a good friend of mine. Shout out, a Hollywood shout out.
Oh, the old Hollywood shout out, eh? This has been an episode of the Pretentious Chronicles.
I have some famous friends.
So listen, so the Mandela effect. So some of the things, the most popular topics, or was it mirror, mirror on the wall or magic mirror on the wall?
It's mirror, mirror on the wall.
Well, it's actually magic mirror on the wall, but see, you think it's mirror, mirror on the wall too.
But that's probably because I've heard other people say it, right?
Right, yeah, of course. But there's people that actually really believe that we're living in a false reality. And I was listening to the Higher Side Chats the other day, and I wanted to turn that episode off and switch to another, but I couldn't because he had a Mandela effect guy on, and it was so fantastic. The guy thinks – this is the guy's theory. I forget. His name's like Esquan Double A or something. I don't know. It's some kind of battery. Anyway, he says that – he goes – he thinks that the world in 2012 that everybody died in 2012, that the Hadron Collider and CERN caused a black hole or something to cause the whole world to die. And now we're living in an alternate reality of dead, that we're really dead.
Oh, wait.
And really believes this.
That's so weird. Well, what do you do with your life if you believe that? Like, if you believe that to be true, like, how do you – why go on at all?
You post stuff on the internet.
I guess you just get real internet savvy.
Yeah, that's what that's for. But so he's given all these examples. Okay, here's an example. But then he gives some examples that are weird. Like, so he says – he goes, and before a certain time period, there weren't any cats with wings. Now there's cats with wings. Look it up.
Cats with wings? I know there aren't cats with wings.
Look it up. There are cats with wings.
Are you saying wings?
Yes, not in the, with the Hackett brothers. No, not the Hackett brothers. With actual wings.
There are no cats with wings. I'm looking it up right now.
Bro, look at it. Look it up.
Bro, you DDP'd me there. Bro, look it up. My God,
there's cats with wings.
What?
Yeah.
It's called feline cutaneous asthenia.
Yeah.
It's something with elastic skin. Ooh.
And what about, and he goes, and then he starts talking about how there's mountains in China that are rainbow mountains that didn't used to be rainbow mountains before, because there would have been like, you know, he didn't explain it very well, but there would have been like, you know, like calendars, you know, with places you want to go, calendars, or, you know, exotic places, you would have seen it. So look up rainbow mountains in China.
Is China also Peru? Because I found them in Peru.
Oh, well, okay. The rainbow mountains there, but you never heard about them before.
I had not heard about them.
So maybe the Mandela effect is actually in effect.
Oh, man. I don't need this in my life.
I know. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like, and then there's the one about the Ed McMahon's publisher swearings, like the publisher clearinghouse sweepstakes, and then Ed McMahon was a part of that, but now you look back and he wasn't, but I think he was just a partner. He was just with a different group. But people have this memory of Ed McMahon showing up on the doorsteps and the commercials for the publisher's clearinghouse, but he never actually did that. He never worked for him. But all that is conflated memory. See, that's really the whole deal with this Mandela effect is and it's called the Mandela effect because people think that they seem to remember Mandela dying in prison, but he really didn't. He's still, you know, he's not alive anymore, but he was alive up until a while ago. But
yeah, no, I mean, I certainly remembered him getting out and doing a bunch of good things after he got out of prison. I didn't think he died in prison.
I remember this. The weirdest thing I ever seen was when Nelson Mandela said the most important, the most amazing moment of his whole life was when he met the Spice Girls.
Oh, do you say it just for a bit? Or?
No, I don't think Nelson Mandela does bits.
You have to wonder, like, you know, these men in power. Now that we know what we know, I mean,
what do we know?
I mean, well, we know that men in power in general have a lot of extramarital affairs and things like that. Like, it's just a thing that, like, even like, you know, Martin Luther King and presidents and, you know. And it's like
way to list a lot of famous people.
The Orville brothers.
That's another one. Now apparently, supposedly the Orville brothers didn't invent flying; somebody else did. So that's like they keep thinking that people are inserting stuff into history to change history. Like it's really a bizarre thing. And what it really is to me, in my opinion, is. It's just people are discovering more stuff with the internet and then more knowledge is coming forth. And so people are – and that's all it is. But it's really like you listen to these guys and they're of absolute belief. I mean it's like a cult, you know, this Mandela effect thing.
It's that shifting, you know, because before you had access to all that information, your reality could be pretty steady because like you weren't absorbing so much new stuff. Speaking of – I saw maybe my favorite tweet of the year. That's not saying much, I guess, because it's only January. But do you know when Donald Trump did that thing where he got all the fast food for the football team? The hamburgers? I saw this tweet. I want to give credit to the person, but it's like a meme
don't.
Now.
No, you don't.
It's not mine. But basically they said – the tweet was, this is the picture that a time traveler sees that makes him realize he fucked something up. This picture of Trump around all these hamburgers. And it's like, I was just like, oh, that's so funny. That is so true.
And it ties into what we're talking about.
Yeah. No, I was
topical.
I was. That's why I brought it up. I didn't bring
it up. Oh, okay. Randy. I thought you were going off page. But how about Michael Strahan says that he'll invite the team for lobster?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard. So it's not very hard to one up. Also, like, one, I don't eat really fast food anymore. You know, I'm really into my body. But But it's like the idea of, like, I do love fast food, but it's like there were no heat lamps. There were no, like, sternos. It was just, like, sandwiches that must have been sitting out for hours. Like, is there anything more gross?
But there was candlelight.
You could hold your Big Mac over a candle until it heated up.
Yeah, they should have used Bunsen burners.
Right. Use something. Use science.
Science. Weird science.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, finish your thought. There was something else I wanted to talk about.
You don't want to talk about the Mandela effect anymore?
I feel like – do you have more to say on it?
No, I was just wanted to bring up that I feel like I should get this guy as a guest. But I don't want to do it if it's just me. You have to make the time for us to do it and set a time. Just like you have to make a time for Jericho so we can do the 100th episode with him. But you have to be there because if I interview the guy, I can't be as – I'm not as discerning a viewer as you are. I'm not – no, that's not it. I know what it is. I'm not as big a bastard as you, so I won't be as cruelly dissecting his opinion as you would.
Yeah, but you know the only thing I have to be totally – like it's those three-way podcasts are always hard to sort of share the space. I'll do it, but like it's just because we can't see each other. Like you and I have finally found a way to only interrupt each other half the time.
Have you noticed that I've done very little interrupting except for just now today?
You have. Is this one of your New Year's resolutions?
It's my New Year restitution.
Oh, I like New Year restitution more than New Year's resolution because it sounds like somebody's like trying to write the world.
Yeah, but I'm only trying to write my world. You're in it. So whatever.
We're all like the leads in our stories of our own lives, you know.
Oh, I saw this. I heard this great thing. It was really fascinating. Another thing on the Higher Side Chats. We had that guest on. I had the guy who hosts the Higher Side Chats. I know you don't know because you don't listen to the show back or remember when you do it. But he had a guest that it was really fascinating. He said everybody wants to be like you know the hero of their own story. But really, we're all more like Bilbo Baggins. And he goes on to explain that Bilbo wasn't the hero, but the events couldn't have happened without Bilbo being involved. They never would have done the thing, but he wasn't the hero. He didn't get the ring back, or he didn't do the whatever. I forget. Because that's a Lord of the Rings thingy. But he didn't do all the stuff. He just was there, and he just did his part, did the best he could do. And because of that, the heroes were able to be heroic and win the day. And that's kind of what everybody and that's why remember I was talking about before about how you should improve your own personal life as opposed to like going out and do big protests and stuff because protests usually don't work. And instead you should work on cleaning up your own backyard, so to speak, you know, improving your own life and being good to the people around you and let that emanate out. And that's more important sometimes than trying to do the big things because most big things you have to be a top shelf guy to do it. And so you're not really going to change much of anything. And so it's better to be the Bilbo Baggins in your, you know, of your own life than it is to be, try to be the, a bigger name.
Trying to be Superman.
Yeah. Trying to be the Superman, trying to be the hero. But I thought it was really interesting and it's a great reason to why, you know, people who feel like they're not doing enough. Well, if you try and make the most of your own life and make the most of your own world and treat maybe treating the waitress nice when instead you would have normally just, you know, been grunted at her when she asked you if you wanted a refill of coffee and being nice to her leads to something else. And it does the chaos, the butterfly effect and leads to something else. And then somebody changes the world because of it.
I mean, I like some of that, but I mean, I don't think the civil rights movement happens because, a black person decides to be nicer to the grocer. Like there are certain things that are like institutionally wrong.
The grocer should be nicer to the black guy because the black people.
Right. But unfortunately, since that grocer doesn't care, since he's not going to do the thing that he's supposed to do, you simply doing nicer thing. Like I do. I absolutely.
Yeah,
believe,
but it started because Rosa Parks, she didn't want to sit in the back of the bus. So she did her little thing in her little world, and that expanded so that the bigger things could happen. It emanated right, out. But, it exactly tells my, what my, makes my point for me.
But in the bigger, well, in the, but.
Nah,
yeah,
blah, 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 blah.
We should have, we should just have foghorns to mute each other out if we're, I do though. I do feel like we don't get political here. We don't get political. I want to talk to you about Caitlin Ohashi.
What?
Did you not hear anything I just said?
No, I horned it out.
So wait, you're not listening when you're horning it out? I wanted to talk about Caitlin Ohashi, that video.
Oh, yeah, the video of the gymnast.
Yeah, and now that all this stuff's coming out about her story and stuff, it's super, you know, it's even more kind of cool that, you know, she had sort of was like an Olympic hopeful who kind of sort of didn't quite get to where she was getting. She like had to, and now this whole video seems to have like, yeah, like she had all these sort of issues.
Well, explain who she is to the audience at home.
So I believe it's UCLA, right? Not USC, UCLA. She's a gymnast, and she did this routine, this floor routine in gymnastics that has gone mega viral. And it's like when you watch it, it's like, oh my God, this is like one of the best gymnastics routines you've ever seen for every reason. Like she, a lot of times in gymnastics too, like between the sort of the vaults and jumps and whatever you call them, flips. I don't know. Is there a technical name for that stuff?
Yeah. The gaga
between the gaga, like, they're kind of just going through the motions, like sort of like, but she's like really dancing and having a great time, and
right,
the place is going unglued. Like they just, everything she does is perfect, and it's like
the
best.
But here's the thing. But here's the interesting thing. It is, but it isn't. And I was showing it to Selena, who used to be like a world class gymnast, and she has pointed out, as she's pointed out to me in the past when we watched gymnastics or something, that nobody sticks landings anymore. Nobody puts their feet the right, like, their legs aren't always closed, you know, like when they land, their legs are supposed to be like, you know, a certain way, and their feet are supposed to be a certain way. And nobody takes points off of that or takes tenths of points off of that anymore. So even with the difficulty of that, it really wasn't a 10. If it would have been happened 30 years ago, she would have got like a 9.5 because it would have been like tenths taken off, because back then you had to stick the landing, even though the level of work was so high. But you still have to nail everything perfect. It's rather interesting to find out.
But wouldn't you say, though, that like
– oh, I totally argued against her.
30 years ago, though, they weren't – like she, I'm sure she's right. Like, but also 30 years ago, they weren't attempting this level of like this many flips. That like they're
– oh, no. I totally – that's what I pointed out. But the point – she has a good point, though, that but people still don't stick landings. You know, now like – you know, a landing that's almost stuck gets you a perfect score, but it shouldn't because, but like, you know what I mean? It's one of those weird things.
Well, when you think of how often we stick the landing in one podcast, like
precision. We get a 3.7, and that's not even from the Russian judge. That's from our own judges in our pockets.
The one we bribed.
The ones we bribed, we get a 3.7.
Yeah, I love that video. I've watched it so many times. Mm-hmm. It's just and it's like, yeah, it's just like it, and
so
part
joyous.
Of it is,
it's joyous.
Yeah. It's just so great, and she's
don't
and
walk
like
over
also
that.
It's
don't
so
walk
infectious.
Over that. It's joyous. Don't try and top it with an infectious word.
It's, well, I would say liberating.
It's
liberating.
Joyous.
So weird.
Yeah. All right. So we can either do a couple things here. We can either go to Newser, Fanny Mail, or Fanny Flag. Who's on the match game, or are we going to Don't Talk to Busby? But let's save Don't Talk to Busby because that we haven't really built up enough yet. So we're going to save that.
I would go with email because I feel like we did a news segment already. Also, we're not talking about UFC anymore. Is that a thing? Because that was also – I was curious about what you thought about the Cejudo Dillashaw fight, which is coming up soon.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. That's this Saturday. That's what's in the past for if you're listening to the show.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But it's coming up. Yeah, the Cejudo versus Dillashaw. That's going to be a hell of a fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's really sort of gotten this much bigger, like, because sort of now the narrative is – Is it, you say Cejudo, is it Cejudo, Cejudo, do you know?
No, Cejudo doesn't do judo.
Oh boy. Henry.
Cejudo is a wrestler.
Well, essentially
he's
like
– he's a wrestler.
If he wins, if he can beat T.J. Dillashaw, then the flyweight division will go on. And if Dillashaw comes in and takes this belt, he's essentially going to go back up to his weight and that division will then be dismantled. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's certainly the story that's being told. So like a lot of people's lives and livelihoods are on the line.
Yeah, it's the talk on the water around the water cooler.
Yeah, I wonder – they always say around the water cooler and – I think that's weird because the water cooler is always against a wall. Like no one's ever in the back of it. So that's kind of just like huddled in front of the water cooler.
Yeah. So it's not really around the water cooler. It's just, oh, hang on one sec. Selena, Judy's here. Oh, you don't know what that's about, do you?
Oh, I do.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Yeah. But it's around the water cooler. Yeah, that is a good point. It's more like an open forum for the water cooler to espouse like a stage performance than it is, you know, like a group.
Yeah, very traditional stage type, you know. It's like it's all kind of going out in one direction, you know, like
– like the Hollywood Bowl.
Very much like the Hollywood Bowl.
Except at the Hollywood Bowl, I always found it odd that there's actually no bowling.
Have you ever been in the basement?
Oh, well, that's – I stand corrected. So let's get to some fanny mail.
All
this
right.
is from Michael Hash, and I'm only going to quote one part of it. He's talking a couple of notes from this week's show, last week's show, I don't know, whatever. He said, double cheeseburgers B, that would be you.
Oh, not bad.
Double cheeseburgers B said that he liked the idea of Lexicon Luther, who would go around quoting the dictionary. We all quote the dictionary. It's just a collection of all the words. I'm quoting the dictionary now.
Well, that's a smart-ass kind of answer to that. Like, I've obviously met – like 50 cent words, like he just like you, like joyous, like he just dropped some shitty 50 cent word like joyous.
This is from A. Gordon, who's been really a standout lately. This
is he the guy who creates all the art?
Yes, except Zach Black has now created a whole Law and Order STU with you banging a watermelon, or SVU with you banging a watermelon.
Oh, because of the music, because of my music video.
Yeah. Yeah, Busby made a video where he's banging a watermelon in case you weren't a familiar caught up to that.
I was hired to be in a video. It's very, very misleading to say I made a video of me banging a watermelon. I'm in a video where very – like literally 3 seconds of this story, which is, you know, inspired by the life and death of David Carradine, by the way. Like,
did he bang watermelons?
Well, he died of autoerotic asphyxiation.
That has nothing to do with a watermelon.
But if you look at the video, I have a noose around my neck when I'm having sex with the watermelon.
Yeah, but he didn't wear a noose. He might have wore a noose, but he didn't wear a did he wear a nooser when he was autoerotic?
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's noose to me, which would have also been a good joke.
Well, anyway, so A. Gordon says he has a serious question. Raven and Bagbiter. First things first, the Wizard of Ovens was f***ing hilarious. I made a joke about that. I have an actual question for you regarding the fate of comedy, and I'm interested in hearing your take on this. Since you are a professional stand-up comedian, and Busby has probably parked the cars of some famous comedy-adjacent people. Have you?
I've never been a valet, but that's only because I can't drive stick. Like, I certainly would do it.
Okay.
For money.
There's a lot of things you do for money. What do you think is going to ultimately happen to comedy in consideration of today? Oh, wait, let me see. This might turn serious. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you know what? Who cares? All right, so that's enough of that. That's enough of that letter. That was fine. That was a fine, dandy letter about Busby parking cars for some famous comedy adjacent people. All right, moving on. This is from Mark Zavallo. Subject, your best friend Colin Matthews. Oh, he's tricking me again. He's using both names. Dear Ravishing Dick Raven and Blue Ball Delight.
Oh, you got slammed too in that one.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't mind. I don't mind when the peeps make fun of me because, you know, I'm an all peeps player. Mm. This is your friend Colin Matthews, even though he says it's from Mark Zavallo. I'm regretting to inform you I started writing this while I was driving under the influence. I got pulled over and was arrested. Thankfully, the woman cop must have liked frisking me, so she let me go. I did, however, get a hefty fine that I would like your contribution on paying. It was technically your fault since I was writing you. I also have had my car impounded, which cost me as well. I figure if we all put our pennies together and not our Johnsons, we can each throw in $175 apiece. I know money's tight these days, but so are the hookers who brought my story about mesothelioma. I hope that's a callback. I also felt really rejected last week when you rejected my plea for work. Remember he wanted me to hire him for work?
Yeah.
He says, what, do you not like me? Am I not good enough? Is it because I spend my free time at strip clubs throwing counterfeit ones and nickels I stole from my coffee at local coffee shop? Anywho, I guess it's a moot point now. Also, why can't you say fuck on your show? I gave you the unique opportunity to say fuck at least three separate times, and you bleeped it out like a little girl selling Girl Scout cookies outside of a dollar store on sunny fucking afternoon. Also, Busby, how did you get into wrestling business after going to clown school? I appreciate you guys to a very minimal degree and love the lackluster effort you put in. PMS, please start chiming in on us faithful Patreon discussions, making fun of Busby, and talking shit on everyone. As a loyal paid Patreon follower, I can say it's a hoot and a holler. Please sign up. There, asshole. There's your free plug for the next 4 months. Wait, there's more. Nope, that was all. Well, what do you make of that?
That was one of the best finishes. Wait, there's more. Nope, that's all. What do you make of that? One, I think it's a mixed metaphor to say, like, if you say you bleeped out the F word like a bunch of Girl Scouts selling cookies in front of a dollar store, like, when do they bleep F words? That doesn't make any sense. So
that's what we call a
mixed metaphor.
Well, so I thought it was a stunted simile.
Oh, is that what you thought it was?
I thought it was. I don't know.
I thought it was an ailing alliteration. Oh, do you see what I did there?
No, I didn't.
I actually made an alliteration and did a joke that was the third beat of that.
Don't get it.
Okay, it's pretty clever. Just trust me.
How did you get into the wrestling business after going to clown school? You're avoiding the question.
I did not. That's not the order of things. I went into pro wrestling, and then later in life, when I was in my 30s, started studying clown and other stuff like that.
And this next letter is from Michael Meland. Question for Borsby.
Oh, these are all questions for me.
Yes, this says, subject question for Borsby. Dear Raven and Burlesquesby.
Okay.
Big fan of the show. Just want to know if Bulbsby has any sort of plan in place for when Mattress Gate is finally exposed. Maybe a new vacuum to soften a blower or something. I don't know. Good luck, though, Bozosby.
Well, I don't know if he's referring – because, you know, I bought Chris a vacuum last year. Not this year, but last year.
That's why he was saying, are you going to buy her a new vacuum to soften the blow?
Honestly, you know what? I'm not too nervous. We're crawling towards 1,000 five-star reviews. It's not like happening in any quick fashion. I figure by then, who knows? Like,
yeah, we didn't even pick up any news. Speaking of that, Twitter and Facebook's The Raven Effect, and the website's raveneffect.com. Fan mail is fanmail at theraveneffect.com. Addiction hotline, 800-662-4357. Addictionandrecovery.org for information. Subscribe to Westwood One or Apple Podcasts. Leave five-star reviews, complimentary comments, five-star total, 777 again this week. That was a bad week for us. Losing your hair, suffering from hair loss, Dr. Brusco at Tempest Hair Restoration can help prevent hair loss and restore what's already gone. Call 877-877-5200 or check out hairdoctorflorida.com to schedule your free consultation. Do you have any plugs, Mr. Borsby or Bozosby?
Do I have any plugs? You know, I check out my Twitter at JetsoTime. I do have a plug. That series that I was in, Please Understand Me, which me and my comedy partner Juzo get interviewed by a therapist. It's on Amazon Prime now.
I just got
so
got to pay for it.
If you don't have Amazon Prime, you would have to. But if you have Amazon Prime, just look up Please Understand Me. You'll see my picture in one of the episode breakdowns. It's like 15 minutes. If you're a fan of the work I do,
I am. But do I still have to?
Have you seen it? You watched it, didn't you?
Sure. Yeah, I watched it.
Brewmaster. You watched the Brewmaster?
Oh, I watched the Brewmaster. Yeah.
Did you really?
Well, yeah, I know, but I remember we talked about it. We discussed it on the show.
I feel like you're now figuring I don't remember the show, so is this just like a power move on your part?
No, I keep thinking of the GHF Viewmaster when you say Brewmaster, and that's because that's what it seems like. There'd be a good story for the GHF whatever it's called, the Viewmaster. You know what I'm talking about?
I kind of, yeah.
That little thing you put in a thing with pictures in a circle, and it's like a binoculars, but it just shows you the picture you put in, and you press a button to change to the next picture. A GAF Viewmaster or something. It's a callback to the 1970s.
Okay. that's a time machine callback.
All right, well, I got a plug. I'm going to be doing some stand-up in Texas with Alex Ansel. January 31st, McAllen at the cinema at the Cine El Rey. Come see me do stand-up January 31st. February 1st, I'll be in Corpus Christi at the Mesquite Street Comedy Club. I like that, the Mesquite Street Comedy Club. And then February 2nd, I'll be in San Antonio at Jokesters. So come one, come all, come early and often, and attend, and come see me do stand-up comedy. And please try and be a bigger audience than what Busby would get.
Well, so you're shooting for the middle.
Yeah, I'm shooting for the bare minimum. Recommendations. Do you have any recommendations?
You know, I've been so busy, I haven't really had a chance to watch much, so no.
I watched Star Wars.
Which one?
Yes. I watched that one. I watched me and Selena, we watched Solo, because I hadn't seen that. We watched Return of the Jedi, because I haven't seen that. Or The Way of the Jedi, or The Last Jedi. We saw that one. So we saw Solo, Last Jedi, and Rogue One last weekend, which would be the weekend before if you're listening to when you listen to the podcast. Because it's already this weekend's already passed.
If I'm listening right now.
So I watched Solo, which I thought was fantastic. I saw Rogue One, which I thought was really, really good. And Way of the Jedi Returns or whatever. That was really good too. But I think Solo was the best of the bunch.
Oh, so interesting, because that's the only one I haven't seen. I saw it's on Netflix now, so I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, but did you like the other ones?
You know, I have liked most of the new ones. I didn't like that one that was 3 ago. I like the one the one where Carrie Fisher died during the shooting, that one.
Yeah, didn't she die during
Kelly
the shooting?
Tran.
Which one was she that?
That was the one where she sort of is floating in space at one point, but then uses the Force to get back into the ship.
Oh yeah, that's the last. Oh, I know what I loved about The Last Jedi. Spoilers, yeah. So turn off the show if you're listening to this. What I loved about The Last Jedi was how he showed up, and like you thought it was in person, but it was really just his hologram of himself. And
yeah,
when he took all the shots, that's the thing that's going to spark the resistance. The fact that The Last Jedi took all the everything that the Republic had or the Empire had to send to them, all their guns shooting at him, and he just walked right through it.
That was a good swerve. It was a good swerve.
Yeah, and then he allowed himself to get stronger when he killed him, like Benoit Kenobi, Alec Guinness did.
Wait, did you say Benoit Kenobi?
Yeah, Benoit Obi Kenobi, Alec Guinness head. But yeah, you know what I like too? I love the way Rogue One literally leads right into A New Hope.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, boom.
Some really smart people. You know, I know Star Wars fans can be like frustrating online, but like the really? Truth is a ton of smart people are working on
you
this.
You said that about our Patreon fans.
No, I love our Patreon fans.
Oh, okay. I got it confused.
They're literally, if it wasn't for the Patreon money, I wouldn't be able to take CBD oil every day.
CBGB oil?
CBGB oil that'd fuck you up hard.
Yeah, they scrape that off the floor and they turn it into
hashish. Oh, right. That might kill you.
Kill you. All right. So anyway, but I really enjoyed those 3 Star Wars movies and we watched them all. And you know what's funny was we had to watch we forgot by the time we watched The Last Jedi, we had forgotten what happened in the first Star Wars number 7. So we had to we had to stop the movie like 2 minutes in and look it up on Wikipedia. Because that would have been too many movies to watch.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
All right. Peace, love, And did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? Great food, no atmosphere.
To do-do list.
Great view of Pluto, because Mickey Mouse brings his dog there every day.
Ugh.
Although they threw Minnie out because she was f***ing goofy.
Wow, ending on a whimper.
She was cheating on Mickey. She was f***ing goofy.
It's pretty good stuff.
How come Goofy talks and Pluto doesn't?
You know, that's like an Animal Farm issue, isn't it?
No, I think it's a Mandela effect. I bet he used to talk.
Callback.
Quote the Raven, nevermore. Now it's your turn.
Oh, I did my thing already.
I know, you shot your load too soon. That's a regular occurrence.
Diarrhea.
Cha-cha-cha. The end. Go to bed.
This is the Savage Nation.
I am waiting for Da Vinci to appear. I haven't seen one yet. All I see are lies and propaganda about the fact that they're delivering so many goods to this country in terms of culture. So far as I can tell, they're not delivering much in the way of culture. Our borders are being destroyed, our language is being destroyed, and our culture is being destroyed. No, not all immigrants are equal. Pardon me.
The Savage Nation from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
My family and I were stopped at a stoplight on a highway. And all of a sudden, I see a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. I felt, I can handle all the calls. I know the story. I know how to talk to the insurance agents. It added up to be too much. And I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. You shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you.